Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as United receive a big boost at the start of this week. We'll also be talking about whether Ahmad should be leaving Manchester United, the prices Man United will pay for people like Edison, Fernandes, Tonali, interesting on that. Wayne Rooney speaking about Man United's summer, Carrick and how they need to get their skates on. And also, well, we'll start off actually. Huge transfer boost has two elements to it. We'll start off with Marcus Rashford, actually, because as we know, last night on the show, he scored a fantastic goal for Barcelona, but he was speaking after the game yesterday for Barcelona and basically expressing his desire to stay in Barcelona. And I think that realistically, it would take a very brave Barcelona owner not to sign him now, which means that beyond the money that we're going to get for Rasmus Højlund, we're now going to be in a situation where we should get the 25 million for Rashford. After the game, he was asked about his future. He said, "I'm not a magician, but if I was, I would stay in Barcelona, but we will see. The Barca team is fantastic. They will win a lot in the next years. So to stay here would be very special. We will see what happens, of course." I think that this is something that, you know, I saw, I think with Rashford, we've had this up and down story all season. He's actually done well at Barcelona. He has actually done well at Barcelona. There's this myth that, you know, he's done bad and Barcelona want to get rid of him. It's a financial thing for Barcelona. They don't want to spend money. And they probably think that if they let Rashford go, that's 25 million saved and they can spend it on something else that they really want. But Rashford for 25 million is a good deal for them. And they do need somebody that's happy to sit on the bench or be a bit part player when Yamal and Rafinha and are fit. And Rashford, you know, still gets plenty of minutes. So he's happy there. He wants to stay there. And also, let's not forget, there's a huge marketing play here for Barcelona. There's loads of people in the UK that walk around with Real Madrid and Barcelona shirts. And, you know, with Rashford on the back, because it's an English player, there is a lot of money that Barcelona make from Rashford as well. So, look, I think that this brilliant goal that he scored in a massive game yesterday, it just sharpens the mind of Barcelona fans and Barcelona Football Club that this is a player that actually brings value on and off the pitch, who wants to stay. And it's just going to come down to the, you know, the pettiness of whether they'll pay the 25 million or whether there has to be a negotiation. But it's good news for United, because what we don't want is an unhappy Rashford coming back to a place where we don't really want to keep him. And then you've got to spend time trying to figure it out. So hopefully, fingers crossed, this is good news that we can move a player on like Rasmus, have about 60 million coming into the club very early, which obviously isn't work that we've got to do. Because let's be clear, we have loaned players out before, like Jadon Sancho, who reappear every summer. And we spend weeks having to try and find them a club and pay their wages. So I think it is a big positive, certainly, on Rashford. And, you know, fair play to him. You know, I've been saying for weeks, he has been playing very well there. He is a valuable player for them. He doesn't want to come back. A lot of United fans don't want him back. I don't think United want him back. I don't think, well, Rashford doesn't want to come back. So this is the right move for him. And hopefully, you know, the fact that he's done well in the last few weeks with Rafinha injured and Barcelona winning the league, it's good news. It's good news. And I tell you what else is good news. The fact that this weekend has sorted a lot of stuff out as well. I know there's controversy about Arsenal, but Arsenal basically win the league. Man City don't win the league. West Ham are getting relegated. Forest are going to stay up. Newcastle ain't going to get European football with that draw yesterday. There's a load of stuff that when you look at the league this morning, although there are still two game weeks left in the Premier League, Newcastle will not be getting European football. So they know they've got to sell.
if they want to improve in the summer. Forest will not be getting relegated and they won't be winning the Europa League. So they can resolve the Elliot Anderson position. West Ham, pretty much relegated. So Fernandez talks can start with whoever wants to buy him, you know? Arsenal, going to win the league. Man City, probably not going to win the league. So they can start going, right, is Pep staying? Is Pep going? Are we signing Elliot Anderson? There's a lot of stuff that's happened this weekend that in relation to transfers, you can sort of go, why are we waiting 2 weeks? And there was a great bit about Wayne Rooney this morning, which I'll talk about in a moment, about this. Like, there seems to be with Man United a little bit, and we've spoken about it a lot, a little bit of, well, we've not qualified for the Champions League yet. We've not decided who the manager is yet. We've not decided who our targets are going to be yet. And actually, there's a lot of things that, you know, not just us, everybody else can be working on. Man City ain't going to win the league. They've got an FA Cup final. You know, they can be talking to whoever the midfielders they want or whoever else they want. And it's the same for Manchester United. And it's the same for Liverpool. And it's the same for Newcastle. Everybody pretty much knows what's going to happen now. You know whether you're going to be in the Champions League. You know whether you're going down. You know whether you've got Europe. I mean, the clubs that are battling for Europe, really, are Villa, Brighton, Brentford, Bournemouth. It ain't Newcastle. So as I've said to you for weeks, Newcastle are the team that I think if you want a Newcastle player like Bayern Munich do, they're in talks with Anthony Gordon. And there it is again. Bayern Munich, we wanted Elise, but we couldn't talk to Elise until we decided what was happening with the manager and if we were going to be in Europe. It was the Ten Hag summer, wasn't it? We wanted Elise in the March, but we couldn't talk to him until the June because we didn't know whether we were going to be in Europe. We didn't know who the manager was going to be. And Bayern Munich just went, yeah, We'll sign you now. We'll go and do it now. And they're doing it again with Newcastle. Everybody knows Newcastle are vulnerable. Not going to be in Europe. Don't know what's happening with their manager. Some players want to leave. They need to raise money. They're in advanced talks with Anthony Gordon. There's your money. We've got our player in. Newcastle are then stronger. And then you go and talk to Newcastle and they go, well, we've got the 80 million for Anthony Gordon. We don't want to do it now. So I think there is a time now for Manchester United to be moving. And this was the comment from Wayne Rooney, because somebody said, what did he say? He basically said this. Look, the uncertainty surrounding the position of the manager could be damaging their summer, with prospective transfer targets likely wanting clarity on who will be leading the club. He said Man United need to invest in players in the summer in order to compete in the Premier League next season and in the Champions League next season, which is where they want to be. They have to invest. They have to strengthen the squad. And I don't think there's any denying that now, if I was a player and Man United wanted to sign me, the first question I'd ask is, who is the manager? Does the manager want me? So I have clarity on the manager. And I think that, look, he is right. And it's only what you and I have been saying for a while now. What are we waiting for? Are we actually strategically waiting so we don't need to spend money? We know we've got the Champions League 100 million. We know we've got the Champions League 100 million. We know we're going to finish third, which is another four. We know we need to buy players. There is literally, oh, we're waiting to see what happens against Forest and Brighton. I mean, it's not going to change anything. Liverpool are playing Villa on Friday. They both can't win. I don't think we can be caught really by Liverpool and Villa. Villa's get last two games are Liverpool and Man City. They won't catch us. And Liverpool's last two games are Villa away and Brentford at home. So even if they get 6 points, we only need bloody one. So we know we're third. We know we're in the Champions League. We know we need to invest. What are we actually waiting for? Now, if we're waiting because we're not giving Carrick the job, yabba dabba do. I'm happy. But I don't think we're giving the job to anyone else anyway. So I do agree with Rooney. I'm like, if you're going to give Carrick the job, just give him the fucking job so we can start buying some players, because what we absolutely need to do is buy players. I've got a video going up on That's Football after this talking about Arsenal. They're linked to Barcola. They're linked to Alvarez. They're going to win the league with the best defence in the world, and they're going to win the league, and they're in the Champions League final, and they're going to add two or... and they might get Tonali as well. What if Arsenal add Barcola, Alvarez and Tonali to that team? Oh my God. You know, the squad's amazing. They're adding quality like that in. What if Man City? I mean, whether it's Pep or Maresca, they're going to add players to that squad, aren't they? So Liverpool, Chelsea, we don't know what they're going to do. We do, you know, Rooney is right. I don't agree with Rooney about Carrick, but Rooney is right. The clarity on the manager will allow us to bring players in quicker. Are we purposely delaying the Carrick appointment until June so we can then delay signings? Maybe. Are we purposely delaying the Carrick appointment because we're thinking about giving it to somebody else? If we're thinking about giving it to somebody else, get in. This is music to my ears. I understand that. You can't sign Elliot Anderson or Tonali or Tchouaméni if the manager's going to be Nagelsmann or Iriola and you're not announcing them for another month. I get that. But if Carrick's going to get the job anyway, you do need to get on with it. But look, I do think there are positives this morning. There is plenty of time. It is only the middle of May. There is plenty of time. And the fact that Rashford looks like he's going to Barcelona, Rasmus is going to Napoli, that's money coming in. Obviously, I think we need to remove more players. But as I said, good news around the fact that Forest, their season is done. Newcastle, their season is done. Arsenal, they're going to win the league. Man City, their season is basically done, apart from the FA Cup final. There's a lot. West Ham, they're basically relegated. These clubs now, you start your transfer window. You do. You start having your talks now because you can probably speak. Well, you can speak to Elliot Anderson now and he'll be going, this is what I want to do. Whereas I think last week he's probably going, look, I'm focused on keeping Forest up in a Europa League semi-final. And that's, things start to happen in May. And as I said to you last week, 4 years ago, Erling Haaland had been announced as a Man United player because Dortmund's season was over. So those opportunities are there for Man United. We can start moving 100%. Just somebody said, do you think it's a bargain for Barcelona signing Marcus Rashford? I saw old Ferdinand at it again. I saw a quote this morning where he said, what a loan signing he's been for Barcelona. Would you have that Marcus Rashford back? 100%. But I think that ship has sailed. I think deep down he wants to stay at Barcelona. I just hope that actually materialises for him. Look, Rio will want an interview. He's an ego, isn't he? But look, the reality is, I wouldn't listen to a word he says about Man United. I don't think he's got a fucking clue. Everything he says is just propaganda nonsense. But where I do agree with him is that, I hope the deal happens for Rashford. I think Rashford's had an up and down time with Man United fans. But when he said he wanted a fresh challenge, I thought that showed maturity to try and rescue a career that was floundering. He was one of my favourite players with Martial in those early days. I think it went very, very wrong and he has to look at himself for that, as do the club. But ever since he went to Villa and Barcelona, I think he's been focused. And you can dislike how it was at Man United, and it was toxic at Man United. It was very toxic. And the criticism of Rashford is valid. I completely agree. And I criticised him a lot. But he's not a player like Di Maria or even Garnacho, where they leave and you go, I don't really give a shit about what you do now because you fucked it up. I think with Rashford, the maturity is to say he needed a fresh challenge. I think we all knew he did. He went to Villa, he did very, very well. He's been to Barcelona, he's done very well. And I hope it does work out for him because there was good times at Man United. I don't agree with Ferdinand that I'd take him back at Man United. I think that's just, as I said, Ferdinand's brilliant at this. It's just PR bullshit. Or he's thick. And I don't think he's thick. I think it's just PR bullshit. Marcus Rashford back at Man United, you're throwing him into the lion's den. He'd get absolutely slaughtered. The press would be on him straight away as soon as there was a bad game. There's half the fan base that don't like him. It would be horrible for him. So bringing him back is just, stupid propaganda bollocks. But I do think it's a good deal for Barcelona. I do. I think that United sort of put themselves in a position where because of his wage, we couldn't ask for 50 million or 60 million. I mean, what is Marcus Rashford's value? If he's not on 300 grand a week and he's on 150 grand a week, he's probably worth 50 million. But because he's on 300 grand a week and he's probably not worth that anymore, you have to discount his transfer fee. So £26 million is a good deal for Barcelona and for Man United, to be honest with you, because you remove the wage and you take a bit of pure profit. So I don't think it's... somebody just said this. Ferdinand said if Rashford get in for 26 million, it's an absolute robbery. I mean, again, it's just his naivety. He doesn't understand. He doesn't see. Look, very, very good footballer, but he doesn't seem to understand the game. It's not a robbery, is it? It's not a robbery, Rio, because he's on 300 and something grand a week and he's not worth that. So, and he's what, 28 now? So it's not a robbery. There's a discount because of the wage. I would say Marcus Rashford's value at 28 is probably 50 million, but not when he's on 300 grand a week. No, I think £25 million is a an okay deal for us and a good deal for Barcelona. And that's why I say I think it's good news. I think it is good news for everybody. What we need now is for Barcelona to do the deal, realistically. Osk says, you can't talk, you don't even play the game. Yeah, like the thousands of people in here, we're not professional footballers, mate. It's a fan community. So if you want to go and listen to ex-players, by all means, they're all doing their own thing now. Tom McBride says, fair play to you for predicting Arsenal to win the league. One of the few. John James says, Tonali and Scott for circa 100 million plus 40 million on Fernandes. Midfield sorted for 5 years. This could be done by June. Net spend 60, leaves time and cash for others. Oh, John, don't do this net spend bollocks. Don't do this. Nobody can predict what Man United, like. So basically, don't do it, John. Save yourself, right? I think what you've done is you've taken the 25 from Rashford, you've taken the 40 from Rasmus, you've added it together and you've made 65, and then you've deducted the money that we'll spend on Fernandes. It doesn't work like that anymore, John. We owe £180 million this summer in transfer fees from other summers.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We've got no idea what's coming in. We've got no idea what's coming out. There's just no point. There's no point anymore in trying to figure out what we can and can't spend. All I would say is, John, is we need to spend circa £300 million. We've got to be going towards £300 million. Please do share the video, everybody, by the way. We've got nearly 9,000 watching. We've not hit 10,000 on a morning show since January. Transfers, this is what it's all about. So make sure you get involved and subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. Just on prices this morning, by the way, a few things I want to talk to you about. But just on prices, we have been linked to a couple of Juventus players as well. On prices, Fabrizio Romano has said the asking price for Ederson is £39 million. And the price for Mateus Fernandes is rumoured to be around £30 million. Now, I don't know what he signed for West Ham for. Let me just double check this, because I've heard some conflicting things. So he was at Sporting. He signed for West Ham last summer from Southampton, funnily enough. And he joined West Ham on a 5-year deal for a fee reported to be more than £40 million. He became the club's third biggest signing behind the £45 million paid for Haller and the £51 million paid for Paqueta. So it's around £40 million they paid for him a year ago. So I think Fernandes is an interesting signing. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But I also think we need to be very careful about false promises. If it's sorry, I was laughing at something. If it's £39 million for Ederson, I think it's £40 million for Fernandes. I don't think we're going to get a discount of that much. But I was speaking to an agent this morning, simply nothing to do with United. It was something to do with Arsenal. And it was to do with that decision last night. We were just arguing about it. And we were talking about, I'll be honest, it wasn't talking. It was messages, voice notes. And I said to them, if that Arsenal goal goes in, if that happens against us, if Fernandes scores the goal and West Ham are winning 1-0 and Arsenal get a corner in stoppage time and they score that goal over the line and it gets ruled out for a foul on the West Ham goalkeeper, no Arsenal fan is saying, well done, referee, it's brilliant. And he did concede, you're right. And I said, that's my issue. It's just, you know, Arsenal fans, I understand it. If it was United, I'd do the same. But if it's at the other end, you know, you've got Arteta saying, oh, I've just suddenly realised how hard the referee's job is. And I thought, you fucking liar. If that had gone against you, you'd be going mad. And that's my point. But look, I also said, now that West Ham are going to get relegated, tell me about relegation clauses. Because if West Ham paid £40 million for Fernandes a year ago, logically, they're going to want 60, but they're getting relegated. And he said, all depends on relegation clauses and West Ham and how much they need to save money. Because ultimately, my understanding of it is, Bittermoose says it will still be 40 if they get relegated. So look, the way I look at it is, Nottingham Forest got relegated in the early 90s and we paid £3.6 million for Roy Keane, which was a British transfer record. There was no relegation clause. There was no discount. Basically, we paid a British transfer record for a relegated midfielder because Blackburn wanted him as well. So there was a bidding war. So with Fernandes at West Ham, talk of £25 million is a joke because they paid £40 million for him a year ago. Unless there's a relegation clause that says you can go for £25 million if we get relegated, which is not the sort of clause a West Ham player would have, because there is a chance that West Ham would get relegated. West Ham are always a team that could get relegated. So you'd be a fucking idiot if you're a West Ham director of football and you sign a player for £40 million, then say you can go for £25 million in a year if we get relegated. That's a £15 million loss for West Ham, by the way. I think you need to get that in your head. We were just talking about Rashford. That's a £15 million loss for a club that's going to lose a shitload of money anyway. So I don't think there'll be a relegation clause that reduces his price. What reduces his price is West Ham get relegated. They need to sell players, and that's a player that people want to buy. So the price could come down a little bit. But the problem will be, if Chelsea want him or Liverpool want him and they go, there's 40 million quid, then you've got a bidding war. So I don't think Fernandes is going to be as cheap as 25 million. I don't think he's going to be as cheap as 30 million. I agree with Bittermoose. I think it's going to be 40 million, which is still a good deal. I mean, come on, it's still a good deal. You could argue it's still a good deal at 50. But I don't think Fernandes from West Ham is going to go for less than 40. Obviously, Ederson at Atalanta is going to be 40. Tonali and Anderson are going to be around 100. Tchouameni is going to be around 70. Baleba is going to be around 60 to 70. And people like Scott are going to be around 50. Stiller's going to be around 50. So I think we're in a position now where we can, you know, bring the hotometer in and effectively predict where we are in relation to players. In fact, I can't bring the hotometer in because I don't know where it bloody is. Why have we removed the hotometer? Sack the producer. I know you're listening. Why have we removed the hotometer when it's a daily feature on the transfer show and it's been completely taken out? That is a joke. That is ridiculous. Madness. Anyway, my point is, I think with all the players that we're looking at now, we can put a price next to them. And I think Fernandes is a good price for Manchester United. I think it is a good price. Let me have a quick look at the chat. A couple of exits I want to talk about, actually. Everton should have had a penalty against West Ham, so it all evens now, says Ben MC. Ben, I don't want this to turn into that. I actually don't give a shit about whether it's Arsenal, West Ham, Everton. My problem was the PGMOL. I think the best game, if you're in, lots of people are in a debate about it today. Arsenal fans want to make it about them. It's not even about them. I want Arsenal to win the league. I don't want City to win the league. What my argument is, as a fan, I'm fed up with the PGMOL. They ruined football. There was a free kick yesterday for Arsenal. I think Eze got fouled. Took 2 minutes to take a free kick. It should have been, take the free kick. The PGMOL are ruining this league. And how many dodgy decisions have we had this season? Loads. And you know what? That's a foul on the West Ham goalkeeper yesterday. Who remembers playing Everton? Who remembers their corners? Mainu was right. It was like the bloody Royal Rumble. I mean, fucking hell. How many free kicks did Le Mans get against Everton? he was fouled more than that about 10 times. And that's the point. It's like, it's a foul when they want it to be a foul. It's the inconsistency. That's my problem with it. But look, anyway, we're talking about Man United. We're starting to realise that there are fees available now. I just want to say something this morning, by the way. Old Lookhurst has been at it again. I don't normally get involved in this sort of stuff. But basically, this is what he's had to say. United fans have been singing Xerxes' name to Daft Punk, but he was a daft punt who'll need replacing. And I just think, hold on a minute. It's always the same with the foreign players, isn't it? Always the same. Why are we singling out Joshua Xerxes for the game tomorrow? Why are we singling out Joshua Xerxes for the game on Sunday, Saturday? Why is it when there's a foreign player that we can take a pop at, it's always the same people doing it and it's always the same? Xerxes didn't play well on Saturday, but he's hardly played at all since Christmas. The guy's going to be rustier than a bike that's been left out all winter. Like, we should have let him go in January. We basically kept a player we didn't need in January in case we needed him. And then we gave him no minutes. We stick him up front against Sunderland, where he's in a graveyard shift. He did play shit, but there wasn't a lot going on. I mean, I don't remember him having a chance all game because we didn't have a shot on target all game. So you could have bloody Cristiano Ronaldo up front. He'd have had a shit game on Saturday. But here we are again. The same journalists, the same media outlets, the same fans victimising one player on an agenda. I mean, you know what makes me laugh? Is if I criticised Harry Maguire or Luke Shaw or Mainoo, oh, it'd be cut up, clipped, everything. Oh, this is a poisonous. He's poisonous, right? But it's absolutely fine to go and do it to Xerxes for 48 hours. And this is why I love having a community like this, because I don't really give a shit if people want to clip me up and say I've got an agenda. But I actually don't. Like, if I like a player, I'll still criticise them. If I don't like a player, I'll still praise them. But I get bored of these deflection tactics of let's all have a pile on to Xerxes. I mean, Xerxes needs selling in the summer. But he wasn't the only bloody problem at the weekend. And do we need to start ridiculing a player that we're actually going to try and sell? It's just like, it's counterproductive, isn't it? Like, if we need to sell Xerxes, maybe we should say, you know what, in fairness, there's a good player there. He's just not been given the minutes. Instead of going, he shouldn't even be a footballer. He's a bag of shit. I mean, I'm sure that's going to make him really confident and really help people that want to buy him. I think, look, in relation to Xerxes, I saw a really good clip yesterday. What's happened to Joshua Xerxes? That's the question. What's happened to Joshua Xerxes? Because technically, fantastic footballer. Physically, very dominant. Pace-wise, not slow. Issue, is he a striker? Is he a number 10? No, I don't know. I think he suited our system better under Amorim because we played with two number 10s. As a single number 10, you're never going to get Bruno's shirt. And as an out-and-out number 9, I don't think he is one. So systematically, he doesn't suit Manchester United. But to start ridiculing him as a bag of shit, I think is really misprofiling a player that's actually very talented but just hasn't played much football. And I see it with Baller League. Like, you know, we've needed to bring players in at times. You run the training session. You watch a couple of players. They're really good in training. You give them a chance in Baller League and they're like a rabbit in the headlights because it's like an arena and there's a line here and there's a game changer and you're playing against people who've been playing it for months. It's very rare that someone hits the ground running. They need to probably play 2 or 3 weeks to get used to it. You're getting one chance for Man United. You're getting one start for Man United in 4 months. And guess what? You're a little bit off the pace. It's not a surprise to me. We have mismanaged Joshua Xerxes this season. We should have loaned him in January for two reasons. One for him and two for us, so that he played regularly and his value was up in the summer. Look at Antony. We loaned Antony out. He was shit. He goes to Betis. He gets them to a final. He scores goals. He becomes a local hero. We get money for him. Job done. Marcus Rashford goes on loan to Villa, does fantastically well, gets a move to Barcelona. Joshua Xerxes sits on his arse for 4 months, plays at the end of the season, gets ridiculed. What money are we going to get for him? We've mismanaged it. And I think with Xerxes, I'd like to see him getting more minutes, actually. I'd like to see him play against Forest as well. I'd like to see him play against Brighton as well, because we need to see a move for Xerxes this summer. And I don't believe he's a bad player. I just think he's been very unlucky that in his time at Man United, he's actually had three managers, and the manager that was going to use him... Am I right? Yeah. The manager that was going to use Xerxes got sacked within 2 months of him signing. That's Xerxes' problem. He was bought by a manager that got sacked within 2 months. He was then under Amrin, and then he's been under Carrick. So I think he needs moving on. Ahmad. Now, Man United have basically also come out and sort of said Ahmad is not up for sale. Now, this is quite interesting. So you might have seen it over the weekend. It sort of filtered out over the weekend that Ahmad is not up for sale. Now, Man United don't normally react to that sort of stuff. But I think we can safely say, and I know we ran a poll yesterday and 60% of you want him to stay and 40% of you want him to go. But Man United have sort of come out and gone, no, Ahmad will not be a player that Man United move on. And he won't be a player that Man United move on, because I think he's a favourite of Carrick.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But he is in a precarious position, Ahmad. I don't know. I'd love to get some actual comments in the live chat about Ahmad, because I have noticed this all season, even under Amrin, even back in August. Somebody needs to explain it to me. There is a movement in our fan base that doesn't like Ahmad. They don't. And I don't know why. And he has been crap for months, Jim, but it was going on before that. There is some dislike for Ahmad in our fan base. I don't know what the percentage is. And I remember saying this at Christmas. So this was before the bad form under Carrick. There is a percentage of our fan base that just don't like Ahmad. And I don't really know why. Because perception-wise, I think he looks like he's a nice lad. He looks like he works hard. And talent-wise, I think he is talented. 100% since Christmas, he's been shit. I mean, look, as I said, I'll always call it how it is. I'm a big fan of Ahmad, but I think he's shit at the moment, and I won't defend him just because I like him. But there is definitely an element of our fan base that just don't like him, and I don't know why. And you can see it on the watch-alongs, and you can see it on match day on social media. There's always a pile-on of Ahmad with certain people. I don't know what it is he's done. I don't know what it is he's done. He didn't leak team news. You know, he's not worn a Villa shirt. He's not arrogant. I don't really get what it is. My personal take on Ahmad is the club shouldn't be selling him. They shouldn't be loaning him. Like, he's done the loan moves. He's been to Rangers. He's been to Sunderland. He's got the contract. I think there's a player there. You know what I think it is? I think it's coaching. I think it's coaching. And, I know Ahmad did the interview the other day saying, you know, Carrick puts his arm around him and, you know, makes him feel good. But it's not fucking working, is it? You know, it's not your fault. Oh, you know, we win and lose as a team, but you're not getting any better. I don't think that's what Ahmad needs. I think Ahmad needs something a bit different, because if I was coaching Ahmad, and I'm not Michael Carrick and I'm not, you know, a top coach or anything like that, I would say to him to simplify his fucking game. You take too many touches, you look for the shot, you look to take people on, simplify your game. It's the same thing we had with Rashford. You know, Rashford towards the end was chasing the moment, you know, trying to relight the fire. And the reality is, the way football is at the moment, you know, if you play the simple pass and it leads to a goal, you will get praise. I think Ahmad, the good things Ahmad's done this season are defensive. You know, you think about the goal the other week where it was his slide tackle that got us on the break to score against Liverpool. You think about the start of the season under Amrim. I thought he was doing very well as a wing back. Defensively, I think Ahmad's been quite good, which shows his work ethic. You know, he's not a winger that's not doesn't track back. He does work really hard. So what that tells me is that Ahmad is a hard-working player. We need to work on the technical side. And maybe he's over-trying. Maybe he's overdoing things. And I think that is where I would be saying to Ahmad, look, sometimes you're picking the wrong pass. Sometimes you're not making the pass. Sometimes you're shooting. Sometimes you're taking the ball. He is a brilliant player as well when he's at it. You know, he can win his penalties. He can score his goals. But I just think he needs to simplify his game. What I will say, though, is that the flip side of the coin is we're Manchester United and we can't carry 5 out of 10 every week. And it has been 5 out of 10 every week. So he needs to be on the bench. And he needs to, you know, he's got a World Cup this summer, which I think is a good thing, actually. I don't think he needs a break. I think he needs to play football. Next season, if he doesn't improve, he's got to go. Because we're Manchester United and we have to have standards. But certainly not this summer. I think he's our player and we need to find a solution. And I believe we can get him back to playing well. But flip side of the coin, if next season it doesn't improve, that's when you start making that choice. But I still think there's a good player there. I think it's been a very challenging season as well. And I think that there are a couple of players in our team that we need to be patient with. Cunha, Mbeumo, Ahmad, in many ways, deserve patience because two of them are new signings and one of them has been, you know, sort of pulled from pillar to post. Last summer, you're not a winger anymore. You're a wing back. And he adapted to that really, really well. Christmas, you're not a wing back anymore. You're a winger. And that they are two very different roles. And yes, he should be playing better, but that is a big change, right? Cunha and Mbeumo, you are big summer signings playing behind our striker with very little defensive responsibility. You are creative players to score goals. Amrim gets sacked. You're now wingers. You've got to work hard. You're out of position and you've got to work hard. In fact, Mbeumo, you're playing up front. So I think that's very difficult for players, especially new players, to you're coming into a new club. You're playing this position halfway through the season. The manager who bought you, who you liked, is sacked. Now you're going to play in different positions. You've got to run around more. So I think Mbeumo, Cunha, Ahmad, we need to see next season 100% and see how they get on because it has been a disruptive season for some people. And look, they won't be as used to it as Maguire and Bruno and Luke Shaw. They're used to sacking managers. I think for Mbeumo and Cunha, it has been quite challenging. And in the case of Mbeumo, he's been messed around a lot. You know, he was a number 10 and he knew his job. And at Christmas, people were saying he could be signing of the season for the Premier League. Carrick comes in, you're up front. Not very good. And now he's understudy to Ahmad. So, you know, it's been a challenging season for Mbeumo. Ahmad was good with Amrim because he was starting to play as a team player. Before and after, he was an individual dribble and shoot player and he's not very good at it, says Sarvish. Sanil says, congratulations on your deal. When will we see you talking football with Gary? Well, you'll have to wait and see about that. Thank you very much. MK says, Tchouaméni, Stiller, Fernandez, 160 million equals midfield sorted. Thank you very much. What was that? Tchouaméni, Stiller and Fernandez. I mean, I'd be very happy with that. Trying to figure out whether we'd do it for 160 million. You're right, we would. 160 million, you would get them three. Tchouaméni would be about 70. And then, yeah, you're right. 160 million. And you might get a bit off. I tell you what, that's that. I tell you what, for a Monday morning, you're awake. That is actually exactly how you do it. £160 million, Tchouaméni, Stiller, Fernandez. Be a very, very exciting, that would. Emily Derry says, Ahmad almost looks like he's overthinking it a bit. Some of his best moments are intelligent, but almost instinctive. Exactly, I think he is overthinking it, you're right. Is Bruno the new coach? Worried for next season, says Stretford Signal. And Dayan says, Ahmad had bad spells under Amrim, but do you think that this fall-off was because he got sacked? He was benched by Ten Hag and Amrim gave him a chance. I don't think so, Dayan, because if we're talking... Oh, got 10,000 watching. Well done, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Make sure you subscribe. I don't know whether you're talking about Xerxes or Ahmad there, Dayan, but probably Xerxes, because I think Ahmad's quite positive around Carrick. So, I don't know that necessarily Ahmad's an unhappy person. New United kit's out on Thursday, by the way. How much the app Stam has suggested that Man United should sign Frankie de Jong this summer. No way. That ship has absolutely sailed. We do not go back in for de Jong. God, no. Good player. Very good player. But No, I wouldn't go anywhere near that. As I said, the summer of De Jong, I would have done it, but not now. Not now. Mourinho's heading back to Real Madrid, according to Fabrizio. Do you think there'll be any shock summer transfer window signings, Mark? I think there has to be. I think there has to be, because I can't predict what we're going to do. So there has to be. 100% actually, there will be shocks, because I'd be shocked if we signed Anderson. I'd be shocked if we signed Tonali, and we are linked to them, but I'd be shocked. So I'd be shocked if we signed Belaba in the wrong way. I think we will have excitement. We're going to sign, you know, I absolutely do not agree that we won't sign anybody, and we will sign at least four. And I think it will be exciting. But what those players will be, I don't know. Alan says we should bring back that Moroccan guy, Amrabat. I don't even know where Amrabat is anymore. You've got me curious. I'm terrible at this. I always watch a film and go, where do I know them from? He is at Betis, on loan from Fenerbahce. And he's still only 29. And he's got 73 caps for Morocco. Yeah, he's on loan at Betis from Fenerbahce. So he's still playing. I thought, for some reason, I thought he'd be about 40 now, but I suppose it wasn't. Sean from Ireland says, we need an experienced striker in the summer, Lewandowski. You've done it again, haven't you? I'm just going to ignore this now. It's an ongoing joke and I don't find it funny. What happened to the De Jong shirt, Mark, says Kelvin. I gave it away in Dublin at a show. I took it to Dublin and gave it away. There was printed T-shirts of De Jong, yeah. Mbeumo and Ahmad are poor since returning from the AFCON, says Joe. Yeah, but you know what, Joe? I mean, some people will agree with you on that. And I did start to think about whether you're right for a moment. And then I thought, but you know, what also happened when they came back from the AFCON? Amrin was the manager and then it was Carrick. So was it the AFCON or was it the change of manager? I think the change of manager and the change of the system is more pertinent than the change of, you know, flight, really, if I'm being completely honest. Who do you think United are going to sign first? A midfielder. Yeah, a midfielder. I don't actually know who we're going to sign. Oh, obviously, I don't know, but I think it will be a midfielder. I still hold out hope that it will be somebody of the talent profile of somebody like Anderson or Tonali, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're going to sell anybody other than Xerxes. I don't count Rashford Rashford and Rasmus, I don't count them because they basically, those deals were done last summer. It was just dependent on the loan going well. So you can't be part of the bomb squad twice. And so I think Xerxes will go. I think he'll go. I mean, he might not go. I mean, that I think Xerxes sort of demonstrates just how ambitious the football club is, really, because what if they keep Xerxes? You know, that would be worrying if we kept Xerxes because we haven't used him. And then if we keep him, it just shows we haven't got any money. So, we could keep Xerxes. We could keep Xerxes. We shouldn't do, but we could. Agate, I don't think anybody would pay real money for him. And we can't take Monopoly money. So I think he'll have to be loaned. I don't think, Martin, that Ederson will be the first signing because I think Ederson, as I said to you yesterday, is more agent-led. Fernandes at West Ham will be difficult to do first because he will go to the World Cup and West Ham might not be in a rush. I mean, look, we do need to bear in mind, seriously bear in mind, when do you think United will make their first summer signing? I would urge caution that United have a very, very rich tapestry and history of not doing anything in June. And the new football financial year starts in July. With the World Cup starting and the manager's not even been appointed yet, I wouldn't be surprised if June disappeared without a signing. There may be talks, there may be advanced talks, there may be negotiations, but I don't know that we will sign a player early. I don't feel... The only deal that I think that could happen early would probably be Elliot Anderson because you'd have to move very quickly on that one. But apart from that, I don't know. I think it could run into July. And that doesn't mean that we won't sign a few players in early July. But remember, we're not going to be back until pre-season, until the middle of July. Most of our good players won't be back until the start of August. United might actually just write June off and go, you know what? There's not really a pre-season this year. We'll do our business in July. So I completely agree that we need to be getting deals done because it's a short summer. But United might just go, actually, we'll do it all together in July. But flip side of that coin is, from the day that Man United start talking to somebody, it will hit the press. Because the way it works is, if I'm Adam Wharton and Man United start talks with me, David Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano know the same day, which means we know the same day. So from the day we start talking to a player, we will know. And that's where you start the clock, 6 weeks. On average, United takes 6 weeks from the start of talks to the completion of holding up the shirt. So even if we don't officially sign a player until July, you still got to go back 6 weeks. So I'd still expect talks in June. But of course, it depends who's at the World Cup. You can't have talks with a player at the World Cup. You can't advance a deal while they're at the World Cup. So all roads lead to belabor. All roads lead to belabor. Right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Do not forget tonight, if you're into the Gold Devils story, and if you're not into the Gold Devils story, you need to get into it. My Baller League team, 2 game weeks left. We need to win both to have a chance of making the top 4 in our debut season. Huge game tonight. We need all your support. 5 o'clock, Mark Goldbridge channel. We're playing at about 7 o'clock against top of the league. Nico's team are top of the league. We need to win. We need to win. Tris says, will it be Haaren-ball? It's the only way we know. It's the only way it works. But we also need to win as well. We've almost got to do a West Ham against Arsenal tonight. That's what we've got to do. We've got to try and not concede, but score a goal as well. So tune in for that. We've got a 2 o'clock show for you as well. We have got an 8 o'clock show for you tonight as well. Make sure you're tuning in for that. And the drop from players is due to a lack of instruction from the manager, says Arch. Right or wrong, Amorim told them what he wanted. Carrick clearly doesn't give them instructions on how he wants them to play. I think you're right. I think there's a huge, huge... It reminds me of Di Matteo at Chelsea. It was very clear that Terry and Lampard were running that team. and they won the Champions League and they won the FA Cup. And then it wasn't sustainable when the next season came along. I think it's very clear that senior players are running that team for Man United as well, and there's not a lot of coaching going on. That's my opinion. I'd love to get proven wrong, but I don't think there's a lot more. I think we are basically being run by senior players at the moment. The yellow wall doesn't intimidate the Gold Devils. God, no. God, no. If you want to get yourself down there, by the way, you can get tickets. Go on my Instagram and come down and support us. Anyway, thanks everyone for watching. We're back at 2 o'clock. Take care, stay safe, and I'll speak to you on the next one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.